Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining me, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. For the next half hour, I'm going to be joined by the Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. His name is Tom Moore, and he has written, and there is now publicized in USA Today and other news outlets, a brilliant solution to the dark money and its corrupting influence in politics. When you look at any any poll, I don't care if it's being done by the American Enterprise Institution or the Brennan Center for Justice, right or left of the spectrum, when the polling question is asked of Americans, are corporations people? Is money speech? Should we have this unlimited amount of dark money pouring into politics? The answer is resoundingly, at 80%+, no. Americans know that this is rot. It is the worst kind of rot. It is the rot that makes government unaccountable to regular people, because if money is speech, then you and I are just whispering. So it is with excitement and humility and a dash of embarrassment that I never thought of this beautifully simple solution that I am joined by Tom Moore from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Thanks so much for being here, Tom.
Oh, Maggie, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
So let's just dive right in. Everybody, if you pay attention to politics a little bit, knows about the Citizens United decision back from 2010 that basically said money is speech. You can't really regulate it. It gutted, I'm speaking sort of in broad strokes, but it gutted the McCain-Feingold bipartisan legislation back from, the 90s? Is that when that was? My goodness. From the 90s that tried to have at least some guardrails and disclosure obligations about money in politics. And I have made the argument that the slow roll into Citizens United actually started about 45 years before. Like in the 70s, there were some decisions where the Supreme Court was indicating that they viewed money as basically equivalent to speech. And a lot of the commentary has talked about trying to mobilize people and trying to pressure elected officials to consider a constitutional amendment to specify this, to overcome this disastrous, I think probably going to go down in the annals of history, of one of the worst Supreme Court decisions of all time. But you, my friend, have had a searing insight that is based on the fact that corporations and the registration of corporations are governed state to state by state law. A corporation only exists in a state because a state issues its registration or says, yes, you a duly organized corporation of thus and such state. So I'm going to pass it over to you because you deserve full credit for this brilliant insight. Tell us what the insight is, Tom.
Well, thank you, Maggie. So what it boils down to, like, everybody's been talking about corporate rights, corporate speech rights. That's what courts have been talking about in all these cases, you know, certainly for the last 40 years, and Citizens United is the most prominent on those. But nobody's been talking about corporate powers. And that's the key to this, where if we think of just corporations as just like these entities that can employ all these people and have factories and operate around the world and operate in every state, and just they just kind of seem to exist, and we don't know where they came from, and we don't know, you know, we don't know a lot about them. But there's a very specific place that they came from, and there's a very specific way that they're created, and they're created by state law. The first thing you learn when you go to law school, the first day of corporations classes, corporations are creatures of state law. They don't exist outside the state law. If you cut off that part of the statute and threw it away, there would be no corporations, you know, unlike people who existed before the laws were written and will exist after the laws have gone away. States give corporations every single one of their powers. And for the whole modern era, for the last 100 years or so, all states have given all corporations basically all the powers of natural people. So people are born with their powers. We all have this many powers when we're born. We don't give powers to the government. We don't get powers from the government. We give them to the government in a democracy. That's where the government gets its legitimacy. But corporations start from zero. And for the last 100 years, all the states have just sent and given all the corporations, all the powers of people. So they have looked like people in some ways from a power perspective and a rights perspective for the last 100 years. And when if you know, all these states said, like, all right, you have the power to do anything legal, you have the power of a person. When the court in Citizens United got to that, they said, well, people have the power to spend in politics, and spending in politics is legal. So you corporations must have the power to do that, and you must have the right to do that. And they didn't talk about the power, because this has just been assumed for the last 100 years.
Yes.
But what's fascinating is I worked on some other projects at the Center for American Progress, thinking about corporate power and thinking about the power of boards and how did Citizens United affect all that and all that. And it really got me thinking about, where does this power come from? And you go back to state statutes. And it turns out in every state statute, there's a provision, and they're almost all the same, that says, hey, by the way, we give you all of your powers. And critically, we can change them up at any time or get rid of them altogether. And what courts have said, these have been in state laws since the 1820s, and every new state has added them to the laws almost immediately. And what the Supreme Court has said for 200 years is, oh, because that clause is in there, states can change the powers that they give their corporations anytime, for any reason, good or bad, doesn't matter who it hurts. They have, this is a word you don't hear very often in campaign finance law, they have plenary power to do this, unlimited power to do this, unchallenged power to change the powers that they give their corporations. So that's it. And so basically that is the nut of this, which is just, it's like, okay, we've been giving you this many powers for 100 years. Now we're just going to give you this many powers. And it's this affirmative grant of powers that the state has been giving for the last 100 years. And just like, oh, we're just going to give you less. And what we're not going to give you is the power to spend in politics. So the power to spend in elections, the power to spend in ballot issues. There's another provision in state law that kind of makes this work. This is moving ahead in Montana right now. And it's called the Montana Plan. You can get the details at montanaplan.com. And if Montana passes this, then no Montana chartered corporation can spend on any politics anywhere in the galaxy. You know, they're out. They're out of politics altogether. But this provision in Montana's law and almost every other state's law, and everybody else can add it, it says no out-of-state corporation can exercise any power in this state that a domestic corporation can't exercise.
That's so, the hook.
That is the hook. That is the key to the whole thing.
And I just want to sit here with people so that they understand why that's incredibly important. Because but for a provision of state law that says a, quote, foreign corporation, meaning a business that is incorporated in any other state, if you do not have a provision, one, you strip the corporation of the political power if they're incorporated, and I'm just going to say Wisconsin right now for this to make this easy. If you are a Wisconsin incorporated business, you cannot engage in political spending of any type. But that only works if the law says no business incorporated in any other state can in this state exercise any powers that a business incorporated in Wisconsin cannot. Otherwise, all a business has to do is hope that there is one holdout state that doesn't engage in this prohibition, or this, I'm going to call it, refusal to grant the powers that inure to human beings as an inalienable right in this constitutional democracy to a freaking entity that is profit maximizing and not democracy promoting. All they would have to do is then simply incorporate in that holdout state and still retain those powers. So that provision is what makes it work.
Right. And so basically what it means is that, you know, 49 states worth of out-of-state corporations to Wisconsin cannot spend in Wisconsin politics either, because the domestic guys can't do so. And it's weirdly powerful. And this is one of the few ways that it actually works in this direction. But part of this is that none of these corporations spend in Wisconsin's local, state, or federal elections. And ordinarily, you cannot make a state law change that affects anything at the federal level, because there's federal supremacy and, you know, the Congress has occupied the field in all these different areas. And there's a lot of law in this. But because this corporations get all of their powers from the state, they get the power to spend in local elections from the state. They get the power to spend in state elections from the state. They get the power to spend in federal elections from the state. And so it's not a restriction that's somewhere in state law that's keeping them from spending in federal elections. It's just not giving them this power. And it is this area of law, it is totally separate from Buckley v. Vallejo and Citizens United and all these other cases that where the court has just been shredding campaign finance law for the last 40, 50 years. This is absolutely foundational corporation law. This is what all of the rest of corporate law rests on, that corporations get their powers from the states. They can only exercise the powers that they're given, you know, all of that kind of thing. And that it's a matter of state law and not federal law.
It's fascinating in addition, and for anybody that's sort of a legal wonk, what I additionally like about this, Tom, is that efforts of corporations to try to take cases out of the state court system, if the courts show any fidelity to their 100 plus years of precedent saying corporate powers and how they are granted are exclusively in the jurisdiction of the state, there would be no basis, at least I would say, to try to remove those cases into federal court. I'm sure they would use a First Amendment hook to try to get there. But I think that would be on fairly weak territory, because you would be interpreting states and their grants of powers to corporations, which, again, long, long, long history of saying corporations exist on a state-by-state basis and their powers are specified by those states.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Where does this stand in terms of, you know, like, legal academia? Are law professors writing law review articles about this? Is this new-ish? There's the Montana plan, so it's been around for a little while.
Just a couple months. And it's something that the Center for American Progress has worked with the Montana organizers there to get that going. But on the ground in Montana, it is a nonpartisan effort. You know, they are getting folks from both sides of the aisle and ginning up a huge amount of interest all throughout the state in this. It has been submitted to the Secretary of State. It's gone to the Attorney General, and we expect a decision tomorrow from the Montana Attorney General. Yeah, about whether it meets some certain. Basically, they've got a couple technical things that it kind of the form that it has to take in order to qualify for the ballot. We kind of expect him to turn it down.
Yes,
he's a fairly conservative Republican. He turns a lot of ballot issues down. He also gets flipped a lot by the Montana Supreme Court. If he does turn it down tomorrow, or if he delays some more and it's a little bit later, whenever he does, the Transparent Election Initiative, the group that has sponsored the Montana plan in Montana, has 10 days to get a brief to the Montana Supreme Court appealing that decision. And that'll be a very quick turnaround that the Attorney General has to give their response. Then the Montana Supreme Court will decide whether that is eligible to be on the ballot the next year.
You're going to let me know what he says tomorrow, Tom, because I want to report on it. We're going to talk about how to maybe get this going in Wisconsin and other states. We'll take another crack at explaining it, because this is a little technical, and it's if you're not a corporate type person, this may be all new information to you, but it is incredibly important to every American to rip out, root and stem the rot that is dark money in politics. We have a pathway forward. Folks, don't go anywhere. I continue this important discussion with Tom Moore, Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in just a moment.